They put you on the spot. Sound being gone. Some two other people being gone. Hey,
thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are there any first-time visitors today? I don't.
Almost. Mrs. Fast has her son, but he's been here before, but we welcome him back right over here in this corner. Good to see you, Jim.
It's Beverly Hooper, so this is her first visit to the service.
First visit to the service. Are there any announcements today? I have a pretty important one. The fall cookout, the cookout at the Strasser Farm, we had it planned for later in October, but due to schedule conflicts, it's going to be next Sunday night. And this is, it's going to be at 5 o'clock, and it's kind of a bring your own food and drinks. We bring all the plates and plasticware and paperware. But if you have any questions, you can contact, I guess, me. That would be good.
It's a week early, too, but if you want to dress up like a goblin, that's okay. You can be that on the 18th just as well as you can on the 25th or even the 31st.
Are there any other announcements? Christmas play. Go for it. Youth group at 5:45, and there will be food? Question mark.
There will
Debbie.
Be.
Oh yes.
Food. Are there any prayer requests or praises this morning? Yes.
I had a fall break week, and so it was also time to go back to my home, which my family had lived in for over 50 years, and to my father built, and to dissolve the home and the things and the stuff and the emotional attachment. And I asked lots of people to pray, and I have to tell you, there was an incredible peace over the whole week. Little big problems or terrible problems that looked big and just kind of melted away the whole week. And I just want to, I attribute it all to the prayer support. The people who witnessed it were amazed that it went so easily and so smoothly among family members. So just thanks for that prayer support.
Okay. Are there any others?
Diana's mom.
Yeah, I have a couple of prayer requests. One is my parents, both of them, George and Lisa Brock, have been in the hospital in the last month, twice each. So they're, you know, their age and just general things. My dad had a heart disease and stuff. You just remember them, and they're facing mostly for them because they're trying to be independent and do stuff themselves. And then I have a prayer request for a 13-year-old girl who was sent in Vanderbilt for 40 days, who had originally contracted E. coli, and we're not sure how, and it has another syndrome that's developed, and I believe it's called hemolytic uric syndrome, which means the biggest thing is her kidneys fail, but it's affected her heart, her lungs, and there's just been one crisis after another, but one miracle after another, too, that she is able to overcome. She's making slow progress, but she needs a lot of prayer. Her name is Katie.
I mentioned three knee replacements. Bob is up and about.
Sheila
is up and about. Ms. Vaughn came home and doing okay. Also, Scott Moses had a motorcycle accident on Wednesday. He's out in a regular room. A broken wrist, left hand, and he is left-handed. See, something else. Charlie is doing well. Welcome, Charlie. Who else?
And Scott, he had a punctured lung.
Punctured lung, broken wrist, two or three gashes, yes.
Ribs.
And a broken ribs, yes.
And her name's Charlotte. there are no more, let's take this time to have silent prayer and lighten the candles, preparing our hearts and minds for worship. If you could please stand for the call of worship. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come.
O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
The Lord be with you and with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, we hear your call, and we have assembled in your name. And Lord, we pray that you will so move in us that we can worship you in a manner that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will teach us through it. Use it for your glory, but our correction. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you give. You are a good God, and we recognize that this day. And we offer praise and adoration to you. Lord, thank you for being a refuge, a fortress, and that we can come to you in much trust. Trust that you will lead us in the paths of righteousness, the right way. And Lord, that you will sustain us, uphold us, guide us as we so move. In the name of Jesus, we offer our prayer. And now come praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you turn in your hymnal to number 59? I sing the mighty power of God. And this song is chosen in reference to God in creation.
Again, oh,
With me on the screen with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confession this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. If you follow in unison. Lord, we look for You in wrong places. We put our trust in material things. We worry about things we cannot change. We wonder if You are even there at all. For all the times we have doubted You, forgive us. For all the ways we have neglected Your word and ignored Your people, forgive us. Don't be far from us. There is no one else we can turn to for help. Your people... Amen. Friends, hear these words of assurance. There is no wrong that God cannot make right. There is no chasm that cannot separate us from God's love. The Lord is patient and kind, generous and good. God will not forsake you or leave you. Turn to the Lord with confidence and put your faith in God's great mercy. By the power of Jesus Christ, we are made whole.
Page 337, Pass Me Not, verses 1 and 2.
celebratory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord God, we come as your people with whom you have entrusted the universe, the earth, and all therein. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom's work. Lord, now we pray for your blessing upon the offerings given, the givers, but especially on those who cannot give. Lord, we pray this for this house, but wherever your people meet in your name. Lord, direct the use of these gifts to sharing the gospel, to helping one another. In Christ's name, amen.
not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Chelsea.
Our scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Psalm chapter 33, 6 through 9, and Psalm chapter 95, verses 2 through 7. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning on the first day. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Let us come before him with thanksgiving, and extol him with the music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The word of God for the people of God.
Record the services for those who would like to listen to them later. So it helps if we are, as you say, wired, but it doesn't help a lot to have two microphones, one competing against the other. Good to see you this morning. We're missing a number of people, and we trust that they will soon be either back in town, or if they're out, or well if they're sick, and will be back and bring some with them. Driving down the road this morning, I had a thought. And I told most of you have heard me say before, because I've told you before, sometimes I'm not sure if my thoughts are inspirations from God or if they're harebrained idea or stupid ideas that just flooded into Larry's mind from somewhere. There's a possibility always that it's an inspiration or a message from God. So I want to follow it this morning with that possibility. If you determine it to be a harebrained idea, just that's all right too. Preaching a sermon, I don't know how many, somebody tried to figure it up the other day, and I'm not sure what the number was. I've made an attempt. Sometimes it was two a day, sometimes it was one a day, sometimes it was a different sermon, because sometimes it was the same sermon, basically the same sermon if it was two morning services, but if it was a morning and an evening service, it needed to be different because the same crowd came back. But what do you do in a sermon? I had this inspiration, I thought, this morning of preaching the last of the sermon first. The last of the sermon first. Because sometimes we get there and I feel rushed. I know that people are wanting to get out. I even heard another preacher this morning say, "Are y'all really into doing what God would have us do?" or something of that nature. Are you interested in what God says? Are you interested in getting out by 12 o'clock? That was the television. So we're not the only congregation. We're not 12 o'clock. Are you interested in getting out at 9 o'clock in our situation here? But the thought was that preach the last first, because sometimes I feel rushed, because I know people, if it's this hour, they want to get out on time. I don't know what God's time is. I've kind of ignored people's time and thought I was going by God's time. But anyhow, let me say this. In the song 59, the first song that we sang, up at the top, it quoted from the Ten Commandments. And in giving the Ten Commandments, Moses told the people, or God told, Moses stated, "The Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. The heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. Well, we're on the earth, or in the earth, and He made us. And as part of God's creation, a part of that which He made, it is His intention that we bring glory to Him. That our lives not shame God, but that we glorify God. That is God's intent. That's God's purpose for us. Or that's our purpose, it being God's purpose for us, or God's intention, that which He made bring glory to Him. And it's comparative to a parent and a child. The parent wants the child to bring glory to the parent. Make the parent happy. And likewise, God, as our Heavenly Father, desires that we live in a manner or do the things that will bring glory to Him, not the things that will make Him ashamed of us or even unhappy that He created us. How do we glorify God? Well, one way, in a general way, is when we do what God says. It's for our benefit, but it's for God's glory. What God says is for us to do is the best. We can't get better than that. We can't improve upon it.
It is God's way. It's the right way because He is righteous. He is right. He knows better than we do. There's a way that seemeth right unto us, but the way thereof, I think the verse says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death. We're talking about spiritual death there, separation from God. Adam and Eve found a way, heard about a way that seemed right unto them, but they were separated from God because of it. And it caused Jesus to have to go to the cross. We glorify God when we do what He says, when we acknowledge and realize that His way is the right way, the best way, the best way for us. And then it brings glory to Him when we do what He says. We cannot glorify God as long as there is sin filling our life. We cannot glorify God with a life full of sin. Or if we're going out and doing sinful things, that does not bring glory to God. It brings shame to Him. It hurts. The Bible talks about it, Him showing anger, but that's because He's so hurt with His people that He's tried to point in the right direction and they keep going in the wrong direction. So what do we do with our sin? If we're sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So what do we do about that sin? We confess it. We admit that we're sinners, and we claim the blood of Jesus. Claim the blood of Jesus. He shed His blood for the remission, or the removal, or the forgiveness of our sin. He suffered in His body. Broken body, shed blood. So we confess it. And we claim it. And then free of sin, we are ready to go and live a life that glorifies God. We said in our confession time, there is nothing that God cannot change. How did we put it? There is no wrong that God cannot make right. He doesn't turn the wrong into right, but He fixes the wrong that we have done. He forgives us. Jesus paid for it. I hope you have in your hand a handout. That's Genesis chapter 1 and 3 verses, or is it 4 verses of chapter 2? 3 verses of chapter 2. The creation story from the first chapter. There's an explanation of that in chapter 2. Then I hope you have in your hand, did I get to the pulpit with it? A poem. Yes, here it is. James Weldon Johnson's poem. Lived from 1871 to 1938. Oh, what a poem. Or I think it is. What a storyteller he was. The argument has been going on for years and years and years. For eons, however long an eon is. Was the earth created or did it evolve? Back when I was in school, we got to argue that. I understand that now they can only argue the evolution side. But I don't even want to get into that. I'm a creationist. I believe that God created. And that's what I want to preach about today. I want to share what the Bible says about it. What the Cumberland Presbyterian Church teaches about it, stated in our confession of faith. Let's talk about creation. The Christian position is that God created the earth. Patrick is working with me, I think, and Kirk's been doing this for years, and if he gets behind, that'd be better than me, because I get behind when I operate the screen too. We read it in the book. If you want to use the New Testament, we find words about the creation, but the large version. We say this is the infallible rule of faith and practice. We say we believe it as Christians and as church members. We say that this is the infallible rule of faith and practice. And this morning we've stated, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of or creator of heaven and earth. You said it if you join with us in the Apostles' Creed. This Bible portion of it printed here. The New Testament printed here. The infallible rule of faith and practice says that God has created everything. God created it all. All that there is. Genesis 1:1. Can't get any further back than that in the biblical record. The biblical record, I said, the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the Gospel of John. John goes back to creation and telling us about Jesus. It says, through Him, Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that had been made. Jesus was with God at creation. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was God. I'm sorry, Jesus was with God. And then John says, Jesus was God. In the beginning, way back there, Jesus was with God. James Weldon Johnson, the creation. The top, there's a little check mark, a little dim check mark by the first verse, and then on the back side there's little dim check marks by two more verses. If we don't get any further than this today, I hope we do, but if we don't, let's look at that. God stepped out on space. This is a black preacher, or an African-American preacher, that lived between 1871 and 1938, describing creation. A way that the smallest child that can understand could understand it. And the most educated person could understand it. Or I think it is. And I've read this one over and over and over. God stepped out on space and He looked around and He said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. Arnold Rhodes wrote a book years ago, The Mighty Acts of God. William Barclay, in commenting on the phrase from the Apostles' Creed, Creator of heaven and earth, the God that we believe in, the Creator of heaven and earth. Both of them say, and I guess I pull from them in my lesson about becoming a Christian that I try to teach to the young people that will, or old people too, if they will attend the class or invite me to their house or come to the office. We talk about, all three of us, that God was lonely. Our God wanted somebody to love. And James Weldon Johnson shared the same idea here in this poem. And as far as the eye could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights. My goodness. Down in a cypress swamp, You'd have to be a Louisianian, I think, or to understand that one, wouldn't you? Okay. And God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Well, he went through the whole creation, and then he gets over, turned over, if you will, about halfway down the page. Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at the sun, and he looked at the moon, and he looked at his little stars, and he looked on his world with all of its living things. And God said, "I'm still lonely," or "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of the hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought till he thought, "I'll make me a man." And listen to this. This is us. And what a description. It may be he's taking a lot of liberties, but or is he? Up from the bed of the river, God stooped the clay. By the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen and amen. What a poet, and what a description, at least for me, and I hope it is for you. Psalm 24. David. Shepherd boy, king, outlaw between the two, running from the king, Saul, but still a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he did some wrong, but he was still wanting to be close to God, know the heart of God. Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." One thing that children do is take something and pull it to them and say, "This is mine! It's mine!" And we've all done that. "This is my land, this is my so-and-so, and I won't give it up." But really, it's the Lord's. It's entrusted to us. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Even we belong to the Lord, see? For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." God, the creator of all that is known and unknown. "For in 6 days," Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Creation. Creation. Creation reveals, shows, discloses God's glory. We are sent here to glorify God. I said that. I was going to say it at the end. I said it at the beginning, though. God's power is revealed in creation. God's wisdom is revealed or disclosed in creation, His creation. God's beauty. Oh, Friday morning we were walking, and three men and a lady. And the clouds were so beautiful. Even driving in, right about 7 o'clock, driving north, oh, the clouds were just so beautiful. And sometimes I forget to look at the world around me. I'm looking down at the road or something and things get in the way. But Friday morning, it was just one of those mornings that I could look around and there it was. The creation of God was so breathtaking almost. Almost, I think. It was beautiful. And I was enjoying the beauty when a person that doesn't normally take in the beauty and see the beauty around him, when we experience God's beauty and finally recognize it, it's really astounding to us sometimes. We know it's there, but we get our mind, certain segment of society or certain kind of thinking that's not poetic, I guess you could say. And so we miss so much, I think. But Friday morning was my good morning for understanding. And the sun was shining on the west side of the road from the east and shining on the hills between Nolensville and Triune, or Triune and Nolensville. And we got here walking on the track at the park, and we were going east, looking east. And it was an unusually beautiful scene. Some of the clouds were just so brilliant, vibrant. And then right behind the little cloud, it looked like a sunburst. The sun was behind the clouds, and the streams were going up. And my fingers, they don't in any way to illustrate it, but the streams were going up from the... And Miss Hayes said, "And anybody can see that and not realize that there is a God. Or how can anyone see this and not believe in God? But they have to acknowledge that He has created it to even do that. God's goodness. Creation. God's creation illustrates or reveals or discloses the goodness of God. Sometimes, though, when God's creation, God's people, are so out of touch with them, they don't reveal God's goodness. And friends, let's be careful. Be careful. I say, let's be careful that we show forth the goodness of God as His creation, not the badness of the devil. Psalm 19, 1 through 3, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm backing up what I've just said with Scripture. The skies proclaim the work of His hands, and certainly they did Friday morning. Day after day, they pour forth speech. You could almost hear them. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. We might not understand another language, but we can see the beauty of God's creation, and we can hear God speaking, can we not, if we'll listen. Psalm 8. The psalmist in Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider the heavens..." I guess that's what we were doing Friday morning. "When I consider the heavens," or your heavens, "the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." God put them there. It's happened more since we moved south, and there's no houses right behind us and are right in front of us. We go out the front door and look out, and every once in a while Carol will say, "Larry, come and look at this. Come and look at this." And different ways around our house, you can see in the clouds creation of God, and then coming in the mountains. Now, human beings have a special place in God's creation. God created everything else, but He was still lonely, and He needed a human being, or He needed somebody, some people. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God says, "Let us make man in our image." That's God speaking, and that's the earliest indication that God wasn't alone by Himself, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were right there with Him. "Let us make man in our image." and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female created them. And then chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. James Weldon Johnson talked about him getting it wet, scooping it up from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 5, 1 and 2. It's a genealogy from Adam to Noah. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. The psalmist in Psalm 8, the question is asked, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Wow. What a blessing God gave to us. But what a responsibility God placed on us. A little lower than the heavenly beings, but crowned with glory and honor. He thanks a lot of people. He put us in a special relationship, a special position, a special place. And we reflect God through our God's image. We reveal that we're a part of God through our worship, through our love. He is love. Arnold Rhodes in The Mighty Acts of God, I've referred to it already, talks about God needed a people to love. Somebody who could love Him in return, or even reject His love, as many have. We reveal or reflect God's image, or we show that we are made in God's image through our worship, through our love, through our service. God made male and female. Let me quickly say, and you can go to Galatians 3, 27, 28, in the sight of God, male and female are created equal and complementary. The Apostle Paul wrote, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to God. The resources of the natural world, the beauty of the natural world, the order of the natural world, are given in trust that we might care for it, that we might conserve it, that we might enjoy it, and that we might use it for the welfare of all. How do we glorify greatest way, the highest way, is that we can live lives that honor Him. We can't do it of our own strength. We can't do it if our life is all wrapped up in sin and shame. We can claim the blood of Jesus to take away our sin, make us clean and pure, so we can invite Jesus in the form of His Spirit to enter into our life, to guide us, to bless us, to use us, to direct us. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for letting us be Your people, for redeeming us through Jesus Christ, when we rebelled and got wrapped up in sin. And thank you, Father, for your guidance every day. Help us to follow it. And use us continually for your honor and glory. Amen. And amen. Would you stand together and turn to number 59? This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. I'm sorry, it's 58. 58. And sing 1 and 3. This is my Father's world. 1 and 3.